Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. There you go, Friday Eve. I know, it used to be known as Thursday, but Thursday has such a contemptible feel to it. Did you know that the players of the WNBA are paid less than the players in the NBA? How many times am I going to hear this? 10, 12, 40, 87 times, according to Jeremy? I don't know. Here's what I do know. The players in the WNBA are not as good as the players in the NBA. Oh, my gosh, the horror of saying that. It's awful. It's terrible. And it's true. The president, well, let me rephrase that. Our presidential meat puppet, Joe Biden, is bemoaning the fact that Caitlin Clark, who is... was the biggest thing in college basketball, female division, number 22, Iowa. She has signed to play with a WNBA team called the Indiana Fever. And the fact that you and I had to look up if that was the right name should give us every piece of understanding that we need to understand why there is a pay, quote, disparity between the NBA and the WNBA. We can look at a couple of factual pieces of information. Caitlin Clark was an absolutely, positively incredible college player. And I would dare say that she will do very, very, very well playing in the WNBA. I am not the biggest basketball fan. You know that. I mean, look, my favorite team. Who do I root for? The Harlem Globetrotters. That should tell you everything you need to know about my basketball acumen. But I understand that Caitlin Clark is a very talented athlete. And I wish her nothing but great success and a long and happy, healthy life and all of that good stuff. She seems really like a wonderful, wonderful human being. But she's going to play for the Indiana Fever, which, if you're telling me, sounds like something you would go to the drugstore. You know, like you go into CVS and quietly say to the pharmacist, hey, have you got any ointment? Why? I think I got a case of the Indiana Fever. You know, something like that. So she plays or will play for the Indiana Fever. She will be paid $76,535 per year. That is not a lot, apparently, in the world of professional basketball. She has a four-year contract that will pay her $338,056. Remember, she's the number one draft for the WNBA. Compare and contrast that with the number one draft for the NBA. That dude is going to make about $10 million. So that is obviously unfair, right? No. It represents what the NBA offers, and it represents what the WNBA offers. Let me give you some very sad information about the WNBA. It's been around for 30 years. Did you realize that? Would you have guessed 30 years? When was the last time you paid attention to anything that happened in the WNBA? Well, it's been around for 30 years. Guess what? It's never made a profit ever in 30 years. The only reason that the WNBA exists is because the NBA provides it with financial support. That's it. If the WNBA were truly to be independent and dependent only on fans, if it were independent of the NBA and strictly dependent on patronage support from fans, it would have gone out of business 28 years ago. I mean, you think about the other sports. Think about secondary leagues that have popped up throughout the years. Now, I always loved the second leagues. I know everybody loves the NFL. Not me. I love the USFL. I like the AFL. I liked arena football. I like European football. I just always found them so much more interesting, and I knew that I had to really like them quickly because they weren't going to be around for long because they weren't going to be able to compete against the NFL. The WNBA could have been one of those leagues. Pops up for a couple of years, people say, oh, that's kind of interesting, but not interesting enough that we're gonna watch the WNBA as opposed to the NBA. So the NBA, in kind of a politically correct woke spirit, says, we're going to have a ladies basketball league, and we're going to pay for it. Okay, well, I mean, that's your choice. I don't care. Your money. I mean, I'm not going to pay you to go see an NBA game, and I'm certainly not going to pay you to go see a WNBA game. Does the WNBA have a television deal? Anybody know? I'm curious. Because I don't think I've ever seen a game on television. I know I see NBA games on television all the time, right? NBA has a deal with ESPN. Do you know how much it's worth? $2.6 billion per year. $2.6 billion per year. Now, actually, the WNBA does have a television deal. I know, you're thinking, oh, I don't remember seeing a game. Well, that's part of the problem. And that's why their television deal is worth $60 million as opposed to $2.6 billion per year. What are the other differences? Well, here's a big difference. The WNBA doesn't play anywhere near as many games as the NBA. And the reason for that, quite simply, is they can't sell tickets. They cannot sell tickets. If they get a couple of thousand people, they're thrilled. Here's the comparison. 98% of the NBA arenas were sold out last year. 98% of the arenas were sold out. More than 22 million people went to see an NBA game. Average attendance per game, north of 18,000 people per game. And again, 98% of the arenas were sold out. WNBA? The WNBA was able to attract 1.5 million. 1.5 million people actually showed up to witness a WNBA game. Average number of folks for a WNBA game, about 6,000. Percentage of arenas sold out, zero. Does that tell you anything? It tells you that there's not a huge market for the WNBA. That's all. Now, that doesn't mean that the athletes are not great athletes. I think they are great athletes. Can they play basketball better than I can? Absolutely. Can they play basketball better than you can? I'm willing to bet they can. Can they play basketball as well as, well, heck, name just about anybody in the NBA? And the answer is no. The answer is no. And audiences have figured that out. So, is there something inherently unfair about WNBA players making less than NBA players? I would say no. I would say no. I would say that they are getting what it is that the market says they should get. But here's the social media comment from our presidential meat puppet, Joe Biden. Women in sports continue to push new boundaries and inspire us all. But right now we're seeing that even if you're the best, women are not paid their fair share. It's time that we give our daughters the same opportunities as our sons and ensure women are paid what they deserve. But this same despicable bottom feeder is saying that boys should be competing against girls in girls' sports. Joe Biden is also saying that men should be competing against women in professional sports. Now, how can you have this both ways? Well, if you're Joe Biden, you're not smart enough to understand that you're not actually being anything close to consistent in this. He doesn't get it. He just knows here's a point. You know, it's a talking point. It's a campaign thing. So he'll spit it out there. He has no idea what it means. My friend Kerry Dougherty from out in Norfolk and Newport News, Virginia Beach, she does a radio program out there. We're really overdue to get Kerry on now that I think about it, Germ. But Kerry had a great piece analyzing this, and I've shared it on social media. I want you to take a look at it. And she said, hey, is it possible? Is it possible that somebody could have Joe Biden sit down and then explain to our C student president in very simple terms, basic economics and the free market capitalist system? Yeah. I mean, really? Could anybody explain it to? I'm doing the best that I can. But even at my level, I think it might be a little bit too advanced for him. They're not selling tickets. They're not selling merchandise. They're not attracting fans to the arenas. They are not attracting sets of eyes to the television set. That's the explanation for this, Mr. President. It's not a political scandal. It's not some sort of bizarre, twisted, evil plot by Donald Trump or somebody else. It's the dreaded free market. But here's the weird thing. If we were to follow the rest of Joe Biden's advice, God help us all, but if we were to do that, we would go out and recruit every failed guy from college basketball and stick him in the WNBA. They would apparently, in all likelihood, play better than the ladies. And then we would be reminded of what the left tells us every single day. Men make better women than women do. It is 314, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. 321, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. It is, I almost said it. It is Friday Eve is what it is. And I know I was telling you about Budget Glass and Concierge Service. I was boning up on my French for my wonderful French vacation and adventure that happened last week. I don't know if I need to learn an entirely new language for our Australia adventure coming up in November, but I've been trying to bone up on a couple of terms. Been trying my best to get good day out. I don't know if I'm doing it right. Bonzer is one of their words. I got a few other ones that I got to run by my new friends from Australia. I do, Greg and Julie. We met them in France. And I got to run these by because to me they look like they could be a little off color. But these Aussies speak in a weird way. You'll learn more about it this evening when you join me at the Radio Factory, 3245 Basie Road. It's in the West End. Again, if you know where Mission Barbecue is, Broad and Glenside, great place that Craig and Maria Briggs own and operate, then you know exactly where the radio station is. We're 60 seconds away from there. And at 6 o'clock this evening, we're having a get-together. We're going to learn more about the Australia trip. Doug Johnson from Cruise and Tour, who has actually been on the program with me talking a little bit about it, said, listen, I want to come to town. Want to get you and your listeners. We'll sit down. We'll talk about what we intend to do on the vacation, what the plans are, some of the trips we're going to have as part of this. Then it's going to be wonderful. It's free of charge. All you have to do, you don't have to RSVP. Just show up tonight, 6 o'clock, at WRVA, 3245 Basie Road. A couple of really, really good texts coming in on our Chronic Care of Richmond text line. 804 says, "Hey, Jeff, I wouldn't cry for Caitlin Clark. It's reported she just signed an eight-figure deal with Nike." Right. Caitlin Clark's doing just fine. She's got all sorts of endorsements. She's had all sorts of endorsements. She's just not going to make gigantic money playing basketball in the WNBA. But Nike knows that she's going to sell a whole bunch of shoes for them, and they are perfectly happy to pay her a bunch of money to have her endorsement. Fantastic. I think that's great. Mike in Bottoms Bridge says, "Hey, Jeff, the problem with Marxists and Marxism is that they don't like or understand capitalism, a.k.a. the free enterprise system." Well, they don't like it, except when it benefits them, Mike. You got to remember something about so many of the good, upstanding socialists we have in America right now. They're only socialists with your money. Make no mistake, they got their dollars in their pockets. Their kids are taken care of. It's just the rest of us that are told we can go pound sand. Dave in Mechanics says, "Jeff, here's a good example. The NFL versus the XFL. The XFL players are paid significantly less than the players are in the NFL. It's not about gender. It's about ratings." I absolutely agree with you. And is the XFL still a thing? I don't know. I watch some of this stuff here and there. It's one season. It's another season. And then it's done. So I don't know if it's, is it still a thing, Germ, the XFL? I was there at the launch of the original XFL 1,000 years ago. I still have, believe it or not, my Las Vegas, I think were the Outlaws? I think it was the Las Vegas Outlaws. I have a jersey that Vince McMahon gave to me. I know in this day and age, you mention Vince McMahon and then you get some sideways stares, but I do have one of the original XFL jerseys. I was there at the big kickoff, so to speak, in Las Vegas. I also have an XFL football from the very, very first season. And you're right. Now I'm thinking I got to dig it out and put it up on eBay. God, I mean, it could buy books or something for Joe. Harry's done. Harry graduates in June, and so I think I'm off the hook for that, because when he eventually heads off to law school, or as I like to call it, you know, law schools are like Hogwarts. These guys all become practitioners of the dark arts. But that's the way he's headed. I don't think I'm on the hook for that one, am I? I told him I'd help him through the undergrad stuff, and then it's up to him. But yeah, maybe if I can find my XFL jersey and my XFL football, I'll take some photos, and then I'll stick it up on eBay and see if we can buy Joe some books or tuition. Oh, the UFL. Okay, so now there's the UFL. It's going to be the Spring League. Yeah, they've done that a million times already. There was the AFA. Remember that one? American Football Association. That barely lasted at all. But they're all kind of cool. Coming up at 3:33, my buddy, No Baloney, when you're talking to Brian Maloney right here. It is 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Jeff News Radio, WRBA. It is a Friday Eve. Let's get together on this. Friday Eve just sounds better, has us rolling right into the weekend. And once again, let me point out that my pal Kerry Dougherty has done the singularly best job of explaining this Caitlin Clark WNBA versus NBA situation. If only Joe Biden were awake long enough to read something. Well, I don't know. Maybe somebody on the staff could read it to him. But I think it's too advanced for him. But for you, I would urge you to check it out. I just sent it out again on X. Make sure you're following Jeff Katz Show on X. Jeff Katz Show on X. And I'll make sure I stick it up again on Facebook, The Jeff Katz Show. As we head into the election, there are a lot of us looking at this and saying, okay, what's the real maneuvering behind the scenes? Are you not still thinking that at some point the Democrats look at Joe Biden and go, hey, we're going to get him off the stage and stick somebody else out there? How can Donald Trump campaign while he's stuck in this courtroom with this nonsense? There's a lot at play here, as a lot at work here, and the best analysis, bar none, comes from my old friend Brian Maloney, somebody who is an absolute giant in the world of talk radio, somebody who has been inside these activities and offering expert analysis for a long time, and I'm just always so happy when he's got some time for us. Brian, thank you for being here.
Hey, Jeff. Hope you had a good trip. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, the trip was, parts of it were thoroughly luxurious, and parts of it, my friend, standing at Utah Beach and on Omaha Beach, just nothing short of humbling. And yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I saw the pictures you posted. Yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah, they really absolutely were. I wonder sometimes, Brian, in this day and age, could we field thousands and thousands of young men who were willing to lie about their age to go to battle like they did at that time?
Yeah, some of those kids were, yeah, underage, as you say, as young as 14, 16, yeah.
Yeah, it's just an amazing thing. Hey, so I want you to offer some of your expert analysis, as you are wont to do, on the situation right now. Former President Donald Trump should be out campaigning. Instead, he's stuck in this goofy courtroom with this ridiculous case. What's going on with that, and how is it playing out in the campaign?
Well, I think what he's doing is making lemonade out of lemons. And what he did a few days ago was nothing short of brilliant. And that was, after he was done in that miserable courtroom, the only purpose of that sham trial is to keep him from campaigning. And we all know it. Everybody knows it on either side. It is to tie him down and burden him with expense and energy and lawyers and everything else. But what he did when that day was complete was go to Harlem, of all places, visit a bodega, and be cheered on. No protesters, just people cheering him and in awe of him. And, I mean, the photos are incredible. The Secret Service must have been going out of their minds. Like, what is he doing? Where is he going? But he went to a bodega where the owner had been involved in a shooting incident with a robber, basically, a thug who had come in there. And so that's why he went to that particular place.
Now, that, you'll remember, and I want everybody to remember, that bodega owner was going to be prosecuted, right, by Alvin Bragg, the same buffoonish DA, the same uber left-wing criminal coddling prosecutor that has brought this nonsense against former President Trump.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, and the end result to this is, I think, to me, I can't remember last time that a Republican presidential candidate campaigned in New York City and wasn't booed or, you know, I mean, that's what was incredible about it. Yeah. You know, I'm sure if he went to the Upper East Side of Manhattan, it would have been nothing but boos, but he goes to Harlem and he's cheered on. I mean, people were shouting, drop, drop. I mean, it's absolutely, so, you know, what's out there is not what the media wants you to see and hear. The real sentiment out there is very, very different.
Brian, is that not evocative of him during the last election going to Detroit and saying, hey, guys, what have you got to lose? You've been voting for Democrats for 100 years. You've got nothing. You could vote for me one time and we could actually make a difference.
Well, and that's exactly right. And one of the major mistakes that the GOP has been making for years and years is just ceding territory every single, we're not going to contest this area and that area. You know, we're just going to focus on the swing districts. Well, what happens is there are less and less swing districts. There are less and less places to campaign, and you're giving away more and more territory. And I think Trump is the first one who said, you know what, why can't I go into these places where, okay, so, you know, maybe 80% of them are going to vote against me, or what, you know, maybe I can make that only 70% vote against me, you know, and that would make a difference. You could make a huge difference. Some of this polling data is showing a significant percentage of African Americans now supporting Trump, up to 30%, where the normal percentage voting for Republican is about 5%.
Right.
So, I mean, we're seeing things going on that are really remarkable.
Yeah. Do you think that the other side is looking at this and getting a little nervous, or are their egos in the way saying, nothing's going to happen from this?
Well, they're nervous about Pennsylvania. There's a very clear, you can see that they're clearly trying to play up the supposed or kind of whatever Scranton roots that he has. And that's something they've been doing with Biden. So they're worried, you know, that they won't be able to cheat well enough in mm-hmm. Pennsylvania and carry it. So I think you're seeing that. But what you're also seeing is Joe Biden even more senile than ever, and yesterday claiming that his uncle was shot down over Papua New Guinea and was eaten by cannibals during World War II. And what it turns out is he did have an uncle in the war, but he was a courier. And he was a passenger on the plane, and it went down in the ocean in the Pacific, several hundred miles off the shore of New Guinea. Yeah. And he went down. That's what the truth, that's the reality. Now, you know, not taking that away from him, but he was not a pilot. He was not shot down over New Guinea, and he was not eaten by cannibals. So, I mean, this is the kind of silliness that we've got now. I mean, it's just incredible.
And this is the first time I've heard the cannibal story from Joe Biden. You know,
it's new.
Yeah. Oh, true. It's new. And no kidding here. No joking. It was the cannibals. And it's like, oh my God, was this before you were a professional truck driver, or, you know what I mean?
Well, and I immediately started thinking of like an old cartoon, you know, from maybe the 40s or 50s, you know, and Bugs Bunny and their cannibals, you know, in the background, and you know, with a big cauldron, you know, and flames underneath it, and you know, and they're grating carrots and celery into into the pot, waiting to stick. You know, I mean, that's the visual that I had. It's like he's in cartoon land.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he actually is making up new stories. And, you know, one thing I've been talking to people about is, you know, people say, you know, when they had a grandfather who was, you know, in the latter stages of senility, that these are the kinds of things that would happen. There would be a lot of stories that were made up out of whole cloth, and they would get weirder and weirder. Yeah, I mean, that's where we're at. How is this guy possibly going to run for re-election? I mean, it just seems impossible.
Well, let me flip that and ask you. You are my go-to guy. I want to remind everybody, Brian Maloney is with us. Brian is without question one of the smartest, most astute, insightful analysts and observers of the political landscape. Is it still a possibility that the Democrats at that convention, they have these, what do they call them, super delegates, that they all get together and they get, now that we're in cartoon land, they just get a big hook and they pull him off the stage and they push somebody on in his place?
Well, I think if it gets bad enough, and we're already there now, I mean, he just looks more befuddled by the day. Yeah. You know, I think something like that is within the realm of possibility. I mean, you get to the point where, well, let's look at it this way. How on earth could the two of them have a debate, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what would you have to pump him up with to get him through a debate of an hour or two? I think it would be almost impossible at this point. So if you don't have that, and I absolutely think if I were Trump's campaign, I would be planning debates. I would be saying, Joe, we're doing three debates. They're going to be 2 hours long each. And let's see you get through them without screaming and ranting and raving and looking like a lunatic.
And let's again be perfectly honest here, Brian. That's exactly what the Biden campaign is afraid of. They put him up there. I don't know what they had him jacked up on for the State of the Union address, but you know, whether it was a mega doses of B12 or something stronger than that, I don't know. Plugged him in the wall for an hour, the charge held, whatever it was. But he wasn't facing any opposition. Donald Trump, even for those people who hate him, you have to acknowledge Donald Trump can stand on a stage and hold his own for hours. If you go back even to the height of COVID, right? Here's Joe Biden hiding in the basement. He's not going to talk to him. Donald Trump is on stage handling hostile reporters for hours and hours on end. I've just got to think the Biden people are terrified of that. And I would assume it's only because they have such help that they have the legacy news media aiding and abetting them that those news media hacks are not covering Donald Trump's calls for debates. I guess that's the only thing.
No, they're not. But Trump absolutely loves campaigning. He loves being on the stage. He loves showing up unannounced at fast food restaurants or, like I said, at Bodega in Harlem. I mean, where would he go next? I mean, it's incredible. So you have active campaigning going on, and you don't have that going on in the other camp. So that's the key difference.
Do you think it is enough to put Donald Trump into the winner's circle?
Well, I think it all depends on how the polling goes in the swing states, which are continuing to look good for him for now. I mean, I think it's going to be a, you know, battle and a half between now and then. I mean, you know, we haven't even started yet.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, it's coming up fast. But then on the other hand, you know, I mean, who knows what's going to happen this summer?
Do you foresee anything happening in the cities? Because that's what I've heard. You know, they're like, oh, you know, you remember a couple of years back, we had this protest in cities, that protest in cities. People all of a sudden were put off from a lot of things. And there are a lot of folks saying, well, maybe Antifa comes back and they start engaging
of course.
In such a terrible behavior.
Oh, every summer before a presidential election, we see it every single time.
Yeah.
All those activist groups will be, you know, will be activated once again.
Yep.
And we'll be seeing it all summer. I mean, there's absolutely no question.
I don't know. I'm looking, as we speak, Brian, at the Columbia University morons who were out today. They occupied a lawn, and it's being described that they were, quote, anti-Israel. And no, they're actively pro-Hamas, which is...
Exactly. Ugly. Yeah, which is insane. Absolutely insane. Yeah. No, they're getting bolder, and they're getting more overt, and they're waving around Hamas flags.
Yep. Yeah, and I don't know about you. I would love to see any of these specialty groups, in particular Queers for Palestine. I just think it's just a laugh riot, and you got to ask them, are they taking that show and the drag show that was a benefit for Hamas? Are you going on the road to Gaza? Because it's going to be a very, very short tour.
Well, exactly. I don't understand the disconnect between, what these people are advocating and reality, because the truth is if they go there, they'd be thrown off the top, the top of the tallest building.
Yep.
Because that's what the religion calls for. And that's what would happen. I don't understand where their minds are. But, these are people who've been brainwashed. Their minds have been poisoned at colleges and universities and wherever else, and that's how we got into this mess. And also, TikTok and some of these apps have been done an incredible job, kind of conditioning people to support Hamas, which is insane. But it happened right under our noses without most of us realizing it.
No, you're spot on. Hey, Brian, I want folks to follow you, if that's all right. You've got a great social media presence. There's always some sort of information that you have come across. So what is the best way for folks to follow Brian Maloney's these days?
Sure. Facebook.com/Red Wave America. It's Facebook.com/Red Wave America. And on Twitter, it is at @scalpings. So SSCALPINGS. If you want to follow me on Twitter, @scalpings. And I'd love to interact with your listeners, Jeff. Would love it.
Yeah, we're going to make sure that we share all of that. And by the way, put it in the book at some point. You've got to explain for everybody the S scalpings tag. What that
is. That's a long story, but do we have a moment to tell it, or do we have it?
Yeah, can we do it in 60, 90 seconds?
Yeah. So in 2017, we mobilized an effort. It was when Bill O'Reilly was fired from Fox News, and Sean Hannity was within about a day or so of being fired. He'd actually said goodbye to his viewers on the air. Mm-hmm. And we mobilized a huge effort to keep him from getting fired. We pressured advertisers. We had tens of thousands of people across the country calling and screaming at Fox and screaming at advertisers. And basically, we were able to save him. And the group at the time was called Stop the Scalpings, because, people were getting scalped. It's just a news media term. Right. But then it became kind of, it didn't sound very good. It's a media term. When you get fired in the media business, they're collecting scalps, and that's just, so when O'Reilly was fired, and they were cleaning house at Fox, who would know that just a few years later we'd be going through it all again with Tucker Carlson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is amazing to see where we are, and unfortunately where a lot of things could be headed. Brian, I always appreciate you being here, man. I'm looking forward to getting as many of my listeners as possible to follow you on social media. And like I said at the beginning, I am always so grateful when you can make some time for us to offer your analysis. It's brilliant, it's spot on, and it is appreciated.
You bet, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Thank you, my friend. That is Brian Maloney. I'll make sure we get the Facebook handle and the X handle up so that you can follow Brian. Brian, once again, brings just decades of not just experience, but a lived experience inside talk radio, inside the political campaigns, inside a whole variety of actions and activities that have supported conservatives for years and years and years. Just truly one of the best. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., don't forget, my buddy John Reed is going to be here. I want to make sure you're listening to John. John always does a great show. Again, his program begins, right on the dot, but on the dot, it's Gary Hess with some news. Then a couple of dots later, it's John, but it's a perfect combination. So 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, make sure you are here for that. It is 351 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Criminal problem in the city of Petersburg. There's a serious lack of a tax base. Infrastructure has suffered unbelievably in the city of Petersburg. And you guys had Joe Morrissey for the longest time as your state senator. That was a screw up, kids. So are you going to get a casino? I don't know. I am one of those people who have lived through casino projects in a couple of different places over the years. I was in Atlantic City for a period of time as a little baby talk show host. And I saw what casinos did do, and I saw what casinos didn't do. And I can remember, because I lived in Philadelphia at the time, when there was this whole idea, they floated the idea of legalized gaming, legalized gambling casinos for Atlantic City. And here's what the argument was. They said, hey, Atlantic City has strictly a seasonal business. Nobody's going to Atlantic City during the winter. Atlantic City is fundamentally, or was fundamentally, where Philadelphia would go during the summer. Big chunks of the Philadelphia market would go to Atlantic City. Now, my family, we always went further south. We went about an hour south. We went to Wildwood. And if you wanted to go 2 hours south, you'd be in Cape May. Strictly summer activities. So they said, well, Atlantic City is really depressed financially. Absolutely correct. If we put a casino here, the reasoning went, people would visit Atlantic City at times other than the summer. Would that help any areas besides Atlantic City? Well, on the island, you've got places like Ventnor and Margate, Longport. And those communities would probably see some sort of economic benefit. That might very well be where employees of this new casino or the new casinos would live. You had some stuff on the mainland, Egg Harbor Township, the city of Pleasantville. Again, areas where employees and support personnel might live. Okay. What does Atlantic City get out of it? In theory, they were going to get a pretty nice bump in terms of taxables. But at the same time, they were putting the casinos into Atlantic City or giving the okay for them. They developed something. It was called CRDA. I don't know if it still exists. It probably does. CRDA, Casino Reinvestment Development Authority. And you know what CRDA did? CRDA was the agency that actually collected all the tax money from the casinos. And you know what they did? They spent it in North Jersey, improving roads in North Jersey. And so Atlantic City, to this day, it's got to be 50 years that they've had casino gaming. They still don't have a supermarket in Atlantic City. You've got to go to another town. You've got to go off the island. You've got to go to the mainland. Have the casinos created jobs? They have. Have they solved the economic problems in the city of Atlantic City? Not even close. Part of the problem, of course, is that Atlantic City government is so incredibly corrupt. I think they might have the record. And don't quote me on this, but I think they might have the record for the number of mayors who actually wound up in federal custody. I mean, that's how bad it is in Atlantic City to this very day. To this very day. It's not a place that is doing particularly well. Will Petersburg get a bump out of this if they get a casino? I suppose. It's got to be done right. But again, I come back to this question. If they put a casino in Petersburg, would you all of a sudden decide, oh yeah, we're going to go to Petersburg? There's going to be a huge, huge marketing challenge. And I don't know if they can overcome it. I really don't. 423, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. We've got our buddy, Congressman Rob Whitman, joining us about 10 minutes from now. Looking forward to catching up with him. Yes, we're going to talk about what's going on in D.C., some of the craziness that is happening up there. But there was also something that was so positive that Congressman Whitman was involved with. I want him to weigh in on this because I'm looking at some of these beautiful photos. They had something called the Congressional App Challenge, and some high school students from Deep Run High School were the big winners in this, and they developed a program. They developed an app which is designed to help out local businesses, help out veterans. In fact, it connects veterans and local businesses that are able to provide those veterans with discounts and affordable prices. So I know the congressman is very, very proud of those students who developed this Patriot Perks app. And we're certainly going to get him to weigh in on that as we spend a couple of moments with him. There was a very interesting social media post the other day, a gentleman by the name of Carl Reed. Carl Reed is the vice president for DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, or didn't earn it is the other definition for DEI. But he is the DEI VP for MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And he boarded an airplane and he posted a photo of himself. Here's what he says. Just boarded an early morning flight wearing my MIT gear. A seatmate looked at me and asked, basketball? I said, no, engineering. What about me prompted him to think I was playing or coaching basketball? So it is the race baiting that this gentleman was involved in. But here's what is so interesting. People all over America, all over America said, you have got to be kidding me. They said, you are wearing official MIT athletic wear. And we're in the midst of NCAA action. People are talking about college sports. And perhaps instead of accusing this guy who's seated near you, of being a racist because he said, oh, is it basketball? Maybe, just maybe, he was a nice guy simply trying to be friendly. Ever think about that? It's 426, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a lovely, lovely Thursday Eve. It really, really is. We got a lot going on. I just want to remind you quickly that it's 6 o'clock this evening. We're inviting everybody. Come on over to WRVA headquarters, 3245 Basie Road in the West End. We'll be doing a special little get-together with a cruise and tour. We're going to learn more about this upcoming trip to Australia. And if you've thought about it, you definitely need to come out because you've got questions, and I can promise you that Doug Johnson's got all the answers. And if you're just hearing about it going, well, I don't know, all the more reason to come out and spend some time with us. We'll all be learning about it again. 6 o'clock this evening at the Radio Factory, 3245 Basie Road. What exactly is happening in Washington, D.C. these days? Is there another attempt to get rid of another Speaker of the House? Are we making any progress keeping the Chinese Communist Party in check? Are we helping our ally Israel? I don't know. I don't know the answers to any of that, but thankfully, Congressman Rob Whitman, who represents the 1st District of our beloved Commonwealth, does, and he's with us. Rob, appreciate you being here.
Jeff, as always, great to be with you.
Tell me, what exactly is going on in D.C. these days? Because you guys had the whole impeachment of Mayorkas, and it wasn't even an hour or two later the Senate said, nah, we're not going to bother with this.
Yeah, Jeff, it's incredible that the Senate shirked their responsibility to have a hearing
on these articles of impeachment. I believe strongly, because I voted in favor of them, that there indeed was a constitutional basis behind these articles of impeachment. And I think the Senate had an obligation to at least have a hearing in the interest of the American people, in the interest of what I believe was a clear situation where Secretary Mayorkas has not followed the law. If anybody else out there does not follow the law, guess what? You get charged. And when you get charged, you have the right to be heard. That's exactly what needs to happen here. And I think the American people look at that and go, well, why wasn't there even a hearing? And there should have been. There should have been. But unfortunately, there was not.
So what's next? I mean, is that a message to you and everybody in Congress that we're just not going to do anything on this, that you guys should focus on something else? Or do you get another bite of this apple?
Well, no, listen, I think job one is to be able to address the border. And this administration, unfortunately, has not done that. There have been, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of executive orders and directives issued by either the president or Secretary Mayorkas that have weakened border security. I think they need to be answerable for that. I think the president tomorrow could do things to either rescind those orders. I think he could declare a national emergency and shut down the border. I think people want to see that happen. There's no way that you can look at what's happening today, Jeff, and go, oh, yeah, that's good for the country. It's not. Look at what's happening in major cities. Look how just the services in those cities are being overwhelmed, whether it's people having to be housed and to be fed or what's happening in school systems. There's no way that you can look at this and go, oh, yeah, this is good for the country. Yet this administration turns their back on that. And then when you try to hold somebody accountable, like Secretary Mayorkas, the Senate says, oh, no, guess what? We're not going to hold him accountable. I mean, people are frustrated, as I am. You look at this and go, things need to be done. The president needs to act. This is the president's fault. Right. The bottom line is the Congress has done its job. The House has passed H.R. 2, the strongest border security bill in the history of this nation. It sits over in the Senate. Chuck Schumer has decided not to take it up. The American people want action, and unfortunately, things aren't happening there.
So when you say Chuck Schumer's decided not to keep it up, do you mind giving us all just a little lesson how this stuff proceeds? Because I think many of us look at this and say, well, the House did what they're supposed to do. Now the Senate has to do something. But you're saying they don't really have to do it.
They don't. The leaders of both the House and the Senate are the gatekeepers, and that is the Speaker determines what comes to the floor in the House, and the Senate Majority Leader determines what comes to the floor in the Senate. So the House sends over many bills. We have sent over dozens of bills, and it's up to Chuck Schumer as to whether any of those bills go before a committee in the Senate or come to the Senate floor to be voted on. So he is the gatekeeper. So he solely determines whether or not House bills get heard or not.
Wow. Because you know that for many of us sitting out here, we're hearing news media reports, legacy news media folks saying, this is the least effective Congress in history. None of their bills are going anywhere, but they're going somewhere. They're going to the Senate. And then it's Chuck Schumer says, yeah, can't be bothered.
That's right. Well, you know, there's two sides to this equation. Yeah. That is the number of bills that are passed out of the House and then the ones that Chuck Schumer takes up. And it's only a handful that the Senate Majority Leader decides to take up. So it's unfortunate. The system is supposed to work where those bills get a hearing. And listen, you know, if you feel differently, then why would you be afraid to have those bills debated and heard and voted on in the Senate? Unfortunately, it becomes more of a political process than it does about good public policy.
Congressman Rob Whitman is joining us, represents the 1st District here in our beloved Commonwealth. You mentioned the Speaker, and you're going to have to let me know exactly what's going on. I'm reading some of these reports that there's again a move to remove the Speaker. Am I reading this right?
Yes, unfortunately there is. And you know, today the Rules Committee is still taking up the rule on these supplemental bills that are going to come before the House, possibly in the next day or two. That's their front and center. You know, that's behind a lot of the back and forth, the discussion about the Speaker. Listen, the Speaker is doing his job, and that is to make sure the House gets to debate these bills. These are important pieces of public policy. And if you disagree with them, then you get to vote against it. If you agree, then you get to vote in favor. The Speaker has had several members. One has actually put in a resolution to vacate the chair. It's not yet a privilege resolution, which means it's still just kind of sitting out there. But if they change it to a privilege resolution, then it means that bill has to be taken up within, I believe, 48 hours, and then it comes before the House, and then there will be a vote of all members of the House as to whether or not to vacate the chair. And if there's a vacation of the chair, then we are back to not having a speaker again. And we have now two folks on our side that said that they would support vacating the chair. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Listen, you can disagree with the speaker, but if you're going to go through that again, and we saw what happened before, we had 3+ weeks of nobody in the speaker's chair, and now you're going to do that again because you have a disagreement with the speaker, instead of saying, you know, give me my chance to debate, give me my chance to put an amendment in, which is what the speaker has offered, it just seems counterproductive to me. And if this is the cycle that we're going to be in, then it makes it incredibly difficult, no matter where you are or what side of the aisle you're on, for the House to function. You can't function that way. So there's also been some discussion about changing the rule that allows just one person to file a motion to vacate the chair. I mean, there has to be some stability here. The speaker, whoever it is, has to have some assurance that they can continue to do their job, even when there are pieces of legislation that come up that have some various views on that. You know, just because you don't agree with a bill or agree with the direction the speaker is taking doesn't mean that you immediately should go file a motion to vacate the chair. It just doesn't make sense, and this body can't function if that continues to be the path.
I just have to wonder, Rob, these are members of my team. They're members of your team. And I have to wonder, do they not see, in many ways, many of them are getting played by the Democrats that are maneuvering and doing this so that you wind up with Hakeem Jeffries in the speaker's chair? I mean, it just, to me, just seems so, a lot of it just seems downright infantile.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, Jeff, because it does empower the other side. Think about this. We have a very narrow majority, and after tomorrow, we'll be down to a one-vote margin. So, the speaker's job is difficult enough as it is, but down to a one-vote margin, if you're in a situation where you have to satisfy everyone, and you can't even afford to lose one person before they file a motion to vacate from the chair, then the question is who will ever be speaker for any period of time? And it doesn't make sense. If you look at it, it does indeed weaken the ability for whoever the speaker is. And listen, I think Speaker Johnson is doing a great job under very, very trying circumstances, but it makes his job even more difficult. And listen, to his credit, he said, hey, listen, I can't be concerned about that. My job is to make sure that we get things done, that this place functions. And that's to his credit. He truly has that servant leader's heart where he says, I am going to do what's best for the nation. I'm not going to be sidetracked by some people that say, hey, listen, I want to remove you. He knows what leadership looks like, and what he's doing, leading this Congress, this House of Representatives, is what his job is.
Congressman Rob Whitman joining us. Rob, what about support for Israel? We see the White House, unfortunately, consistently now doing everything possible to kind of kneecap the leadership in Israel, and it's now a joint leadership. You know, this war government that's in place has both sides of their political aisle in it, and Joe Biden, my gosh, every time I turn around, he's doing something else to handicap their chances of victory, telling them not to go after Hamas, rewarding the lunatics who run Iran. What's going on in the House with that?
Well, listen, we have in the realm for this weekend these funding bills. One of them includes funding for Israel to be able to help Israel out, which I think that we need to do. You know, Israel's one of our closest partners across the globe, but especially in the Middle East, and they're the foundation of stability there amongst very, very combative elements there in the Middle East. And we've seen what's happened with Iran last weekend. We see what's happening with Hamas, with Hezbollah, with the Houthis. You know, we have to be able to support Israel. And listen, we have much common ground with Israel. You know, both the Jewish communities, both the Christian communities, all have an affinity because of what they believe in common. And those things, I think, are critical to us as a nation to be able to do that. We see more and more, unfortunately, others today that have a very, very opposite viewpoint of that. And I think that that's problematic. And what I see, too, raising its ugly head as part of that is a growing sentiment of anti-Semitism in the nation. And I think that's problematic, too. So support for Israel, I think, is going to be key. I think we absolutely have to do that. And I think that Israel's very existence is tied directly to the well-being of other nations in the world that believe in the rule of law, that believe in preserving our individual liberties and freedoms, something that we all believe in, something that joins us together, and we have to stand strong against these forces of evil. Jeff, this really is a time where this is the forces of good versus the forces of evil. I think it's very much like we were in 1938, where we saw the axis of evil there. We're in the same place today, whether it's China, whether it's Russia, whether it's Iran, whether it's the other various terrorist groups in the Middle East, whether it's North Korea. I mean, think about the world we live in today. There hadn't been a more dangerous time in recent history that I can remember. And you have to go back decades to see the same level of evil in the world. And listen, the forces of good have to stand up. And that's where we are today.
I couldn't agree with you more. Rob Whitman joining us, member of Congress, represents the first district. I want to end on an up note, Rob. I am looking at some beautiful, beautiful photographs of you and some students from Deep Run High School. Let everybody know about this congressional app challenge that you were doing.
Yeah, it's incredible. We have some absolutely remarkably smart students in our district, and they are very imaginative. They've done great work to develop these apps that really help individuals, help businesses. They came here with some very exciting ideas. In fact, we're going to try to help them do even more with these apps. And we know in today's world, it's about taking those thoughts and ideas and actually turning them into something that makes life easier for people or helps businesses. And just, it's something as simple as writing this code. And these students are incredibly, incredibly talented, and we want to help them do even more. But they were up here as the winners for the first congressional district of our congressional app challenge because of the app that they wrote and the impact that it has. And listen, they're entrepreneurs. They want to take this concept and grow it and actually create a business out of it, which we want to encourage them and help them along that path.
I love it. I love it. I want people to go and to take a look at the photos, and I would imagine they can go to your website and see that and also get some help. I every time remind people, and I remind people off the air as well, that the constituent service that I see coming from your office is absolutely without compare, the best of the best. So for folks who need a little help, or maybe they'd like to take a look at some of these great photos of these great, great, brilliant young students from Deep Run High School, what's the best way?
Absolutely, Jeff. They can go to our website, which is Whitman, that's WITTMAN.house.gov. And there's a place there for them to contact us if they need help with any sort of federal agency. They can also keep up with what we do. We do an extensive synopsis of the places we visit, the places we go in the district, including visits by the great high school students from Deep Run up here in Washington. So they will get an up-to-date information piece on what we do here in Washington, and they can sign up for our e-newsletters, which we send out on a very frequent basis to advise folks about what's going on up here. These aren't political pieces. These are just information pieces about what we're doing here in Washington. So again, whitman.house.gov, or they can call at 202-225-4261.
All right. And I do have to know, Rob, did you really catch every one of those fish that's hanging on your wall?
Believe it or not, Jeff, I did. It took me a long time to do it, and there's a story behind every one. But we do Fish Fridays, too, so folks can tune in to that on our website also.
I love it, boy. Well, the next time you're hitting the open waters, you let me know, because that's the closest I'm going to come to catching one if I'm standing next to you when you catch one. But I would love to see that. Rob, I always appreciate you making time for us, and from the bottom of my heart, I really do appreciate what you do up there in D.C. I hope that you and the staff know there are people out here that legitimately appreciate you taking a stand and helping people out the way that you do.
Well, Jeff, listen, I really appreciate it. Thanks for all that you do, too, for your listeners. I know they deeply appreciate joining you every day and your great insights and fellowship on the radio. every afternoon there in WRVA. So thanks for all that you do.
You're a good man. Have a blessed weekend, my friend. That is Congressman Rob Whitman, represents the 1st District. I like Rob. I just think he's a hardworking guy and doing the right thing up there. And, again, my hat is off to these students from Deep Run High School. You should take a moment, go over to Congressman Whitman's webpage, take a look at these young men, read about their Patriot Perks app. It's all about uniting veterans with services, and it's just beautiful. It's an absolutely beautiful, beautiful thing. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.